That was for real. Everybody knows that. Mr. and Mrs. Clinton, they did it without a gun. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. You head out for a cup of coffee, and the perspective is man, we're going to have a cup of coffee, you sit and have a good time. Somebody shows up with a gun, and it's a stick-up. You go into a Chinese restaurant, they're all glad to see you, costumes, whatever it might be. You pull out a weapon, and it's just like, it's a stick-up. You kind of change your perspective, you know. You head into church, and you're thinking, oh, we're going to talk about Jesus. Today we're talking about giving, and then you think, oh, just typical. Changes your perspective of church, typical. Go to church, you know, it's all they ever talk about at church is money, money, money. I happen to come to church today, they're talking about money. Well, the truth is other than last week, we haven't talked about it, tithing and giving in that for 2 years. And if you take a look at your notes there, you see that Christian disciplines are at least 6 different ones we talked about last week and this week. And if you didn't hear last week's message, I strongly encourage you to go online and listen to it. I gave you some stats and statistics where we are financially up to date. It's your church. You need to know that. So Christian disciplines are, first of all, you know, you read the Bible. Number one thing, you read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you hear God's word. When you hear God's word, you know how to talk back to him. That's what prayer is. And when you read the Bible and you pray, you know how awesome God is and how he deserves to be worshiped. And then you learn how important it is to be around other Christians, which is fellowship. After service today, one of the most key important things is to go back and to have a donut and a cup of coffee, whatever it might be, and fellowship with somebody. Baptisms are out at Lifehouse today. Those people who are being baptized are a part of the body of Christ. There's fellowship out there, 12:15. Don't be much later in 12:15 because they go pretty quickly, but we'll have fellowship. Come on out there. Support them. Say you're a part of our church. Serving, Jesus showed up and he didn't say, you know, I'm here to serve. He said, he didn't show up and say, I'm here to be served. He said, I have come to serve. And last thing is giving. Giving across the board in the scriptures is taught tithing. It's taught above that is offerings, sacrificial giving. We'll look at a couple different things today. And just the challenge in our hearts, because everything that has to do with giving has to do with my heart. Jesus said, look for your treasures. That's where you find where your heart is. Our treasures, our money, our things, whatever it is that we have. So let me give you some perspectives from a couple different passages of Scripture, a couple different lessons here. Number one in your notes, fill it in with me, give like a poor widow. If you're new to Lifeline, there's a set of orange glow-in-the-dark notes there for you so you can't miss them. Number one, give like you're a poor widow. Here's the situation in Mark the 12th chapter, verse 41. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to that. You got your smartphone, turn to it. We'll go to a couple different places today. If you need a Bible, we have them free all across the front. Don't leave today without a Bible if you want one. We bought it for you free of charge. Jesus sits down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watching the crowd putting their money in the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put, underline this, more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, wouldn't this just be awesome? Here's the situation. It's a temple treasury, and they did this. This was their custom, and they do this in certain churches where everybody brings their money up front, and the preacher or somebody sitting there watching. Wouldn't you just love that? I'm going to sit there. I'm going to watch. Okay, what's everybody doing? Let me see what size of check you're, how much money you're putting in. Wouldn't that just fry Americans? All right? This is what they did, and here's Jesus. He's watching. Can I just let you know something? He's omniscient. And though nobody else may see it except the counters, he sees what I give. He sees what you give. He doesn't have to sit across from any of the room or whatever. He sees, he knows. Jesus here, some people might think, okay, he's putting down the rich. I don't see that. I don't see that Jesus, other people that may have had money, whatever, they were putting their money in. You know, at this point, Jesus is not putting down the rich. But Jesus defined more differently than you and me. When Jesus looked here, he defined more different than you and me. He looked in there and he said, man, that was all she had. More wasn't $50 versus 50 cents. It was compared to total worth, net worth, what she had. Now, either this woman is not very smart or she knows something we don't know. Why didn't Jesus step up and say, no, you keep it. We know you need it. Could have. It would have got him in trouble one more time. He's been in trouble many other times. Why didn't he? This woman knew something. This is how she could give sacrificially. As a poor widow, you were in a bad place in this day and age. You needed a son or a husband. You couldn't even have property. Other than that, you basically were taken care of by the church. Just keep it. Jesus knew. I'm her provider. She knew. Jesus is my provider. She knew that the Lord was her provider. This couldn't have been the first time for her. Jesus would provide for her, and she probably experienced it many times over. You know, if I didn't see this over 23 years of ministry, I probably would be telling you something different. You know, I would probably be saying something different because I have known widows, and I've known single moms who tithed and lived on a fixed income. And I saw them give above their tithes to special offerings, like the baby bottle that we're doing for Hannah Home. And I saw them give above that. They lived down here so they could, in their heart, show Jesus, you're number one. Somehow or another, Jesus was okay with her giving it all because he was the one that would eventually move in her life to provide her needs. She loved him more than her money, and he loved her more than the money. How did she give? She gave from her heart. And I truthfully think that there are many parents, you would probably do the same thing. If there was something that your child had and it would cost you every penny you had, you would probably give it up for their health, their healing, and well-being. So how does this poor widow give? Sacrificially and depending on God to give her needs. Number two, look at this. As we look about giving, we see how a poor widow gives, but we should give as we spend less. You know, prosperity theology out there, some televangelist preach or something like that, is you tithe and the Lord will do this, that, the other. You know, I've seen people that, well, I'm going to tithe and then their whole world gets all in a mess because they don't realize that they have to cut back somewhere else. Nobody likes to hear that. You got to cut back somewhere else. Do you know every financial planner in America who's worth their weight in what they do says America doesn't have an income problem. We have a spending problem. We spend far above what we should spend because we got to have things. And when it comes to spending less, as your pastor, as somebody who cares for you spiritually, I want to teach you what we have learned, and I want you to know what so many Christians who have been set free learn. There's two things you do. You reduce your debt, and you reduce your spending. And eventually, getting out of debt helps you with your spending. What is it that Dave Ramsey says? If you live today like nobody else, you can live tomorrow like nobody else, something along that line. If you have a house payment, if you have a car payment, if you have school loans, credit cards, Kohl's, you're paying interest to a financial institute. And many people say, well, I really can't give because I can't tithe or whatever it might be because, you know, this is the whole part of everything that I am. This is where all my money's going to, all my interest, you know. And so then we look at how do you do that? You cut back spending. See, the desire to have things over our ability to support ministry is overwhelming Christians in America. It's overwhelming Christians in America. We are offering the class Financial Peace. January, the first week, it's in your program. You'll hear an announcement here from Paula at the end of the service today. Is we are offering a class for you to learn how to get a handle on your finances. Some of you have taken it, you love it, you talk about it, you're a witness for it, you're going to jump in it again and teach it again, but listen, everybody, get in it. Get in it and learn so you can begin to give to the Lord and you can begin to be bailed out, you can learn to get debt free. I was talking to somebody who's under 30 and they were telling me that as they planned to buy a home, they were planning to buy a home, they were looking at their budget, they knew everything they had to give up to buy a home. Because when you heard point two, it's like, oh, he's trying to tell us what. I'm just giving you, I have several testimonies, people say me their testimonies. This person says, I knew what I had to cut back on. If I was going to own a home, they're a single income. If I was going to own a home, I knew what I'd have to cut back on. But they never cut back on their tithe. They said, if I were going to do this, I would decide to buy a home. Part of the budget was tithes and offering. This person not only gives tithes, but gives to about three other different ministries. other things that they like to do. So they learn to cut back, and all of us, we've made decisions to spend less somewhere so we could spend money somewhere else to get something. What would it say about our hearts? Because the Bible says, where my heart is where my treasure is. This today is not legalism. Nobody is sticking a gun in your back. Ted, I'd love for you, you know, security over at the plant, I'd love for you to stand over there with a gun and everybody, okay, empty your wallets and your Rolexes and everything, but that's not happening. This is not a stick-up today. I'm going to teach the Word of God. I'll see where the Lord moves your heart. Number three, give as if you've been delivered from slavery. One of the things that the Israelites learned as they were coming out of slavery and seeing how the Lord had delivered them, one of the things that God was teaching them was to give them the first. That's what the tithe really is. It's the first fruits, different things like that. In Deuteronomy 26, the Israelites are recalling what had happened to them in Israel, in Egypt. If you know the story, you know that it says in verse 6, the Egyptians mistreated us. They made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. I just want you to know, here's a picture of being slaves to sin, being a slave to the world. And for anyone who cries out to the Lord, he'll set you free. He'll deliver you. Read on in verse 8, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and with great terror, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Just pause here just for a second. It is so interesting to know that this man had to put the effort into the soil. He had to work the soil. He had to plant the soil. And oftentimes when we work towards something, we give a lot of credit to our effort, our skill, our gifts, our knowledge. And then there are this group of people who realize none of that is possible without the strength of the Lord. And in all they did, they brought back first fruits. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down to him. It's not just giving grudgingly, it's giving, bowing down, worshiping, saying a portion back to you. The Israelites gave to God after they had been delivered, and we give to God after he's delivered us from sin. Here's the same picture of the wording that's used in verse 6. I was mistreated by Satan before I was a Christian, made to suffer in my sins, and the world made me its slave. I don't know what you read in the Bible before you came to Christ. That's the reality. Don't think how good you were, this, that, or the other. But before that and without that, we were slaves, to the world. When I cried out to Jesus to forgive me of my sins when I was 25, 26 years old, he forgave me of my sins. Born again, brand new life, years later called into ministry. Oftentimes, if somebody is rescued from a tragedy, one of the things they want to do in some way is say thanks. Sometimes they offer them a reward or something like that. This passage of Scripture teaches me as Christians that I give as if I've been delivered from slavery, because I have been. I've been delivered. Heaven is my promise, my hope. Nothing that I did, all on Jesus Christ. So what will you offer the one who rescued your soul? What will I offer? Jesus is looking for Christians who will not view giving and tithing as a stick-up. He's looking for those who will remember that they were headed to hell, and he rescued their soul. Number four, give like you don't rely on your wealth. Give like you don't rely on your wealth. This background of Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 20, is a man who comes to Jesus. The amazing thing about this guy is he bowed on his knees. He came to Jesus. He got down on his knees, which I would think would be a form of worship. And he said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus quotes back to him some very closely chosen parts of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that have to do with how you treat your neighbor. You know, love God with all your heart, treat your neighbor as yourself. Here he says to him, Jesus says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't defraud your neighbor, honor your mother and father. And here's verse 20, and here's his reply to Jesus. He's on his knees. He knows how to be religious. Teacher, he declared, verse 20. All these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Here's the question. would the man reciprocate the love? One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. See, it's easy to get caught up in religion. It's easy to practice what we know from the Bible, what we know from the scriptures. It's easy to do that. But then every once in a while, there comes a heart check. There comes a heart check where God says, you know, whatever your biggest thing is that's before me, whatever that is today, it's got to come down. Because it's my idol. You know, and when people with wealth trust their wealth all of their lives, gives them security, gives them peace, it gives you goosebumps to know how much you got and save. When people live according to that, oh, it's so hard to say, I trust in Jesus alone. It's so hard to take everything we have, our houses, our boats, everything we have, and say, Lord, it's yours. Do whatever you want with it. And some of you know a little bit of my story. 6 months after we built our home, we got the option of going to another church. You know, that's because the last one fired us. That's how you get an option sometimes, you know. And as we were thinking about that, it's like, Lord, we just got in our home. We just got here. Is this the one thing that we didn't go in debt. My wife didn't buy a new piece of furniture till I don't know how long. Everything was used or given to us so we could save. The one thing that she wanted to do, we bought a piece of property so we could build a home. Paid our other home off. We were debt-free. And then it was like, all right, interviewed at a church in Columbus area, getting ready to go back for a second interview, getting ready to say, okay, or everything, you know, it was a process. I'd like to say, oh, anything. I'm telling you, it was a process for us. But I can remember the day that Maria looked at me and said, all right, I'm willing to pick up, leave, sell, go. All we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. It was a process. And no sooner did that happen, an opportunity opened for us to plant a new church in Lira called Lifehouse, where the baptisms are taking place today. And then about 5 years later, plant this new church. Yeah, I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh boy, gee, let's just, but everything has to be on the altar, everything. Matter of fact, today, I'm wondering if maybe you'd want to put your heart on the altar today, just kind of to renew where you're at. The altar is a place that God created. It's a place that he said, hey, come get alone with me. So the challenge was to say, does he really love other people? Would he pay up to ease the burden of some other people? Because his God definitely was shown. Now, maybe you're sitting here saying, well, yeah, I'm not that wealthy. I could give you all kinds of stats. I'll just give you a conservative stat. I could give you a stat that says Americans are richer than 90 to 97% of the people in the world. That may be true. Let me just give you a very conservative one. This, from what I've researched, if you have a fridge, you have a bed, a roof over your head, and your clothes are in a closet, you're richer than 75% of the billions of people on earth. In America, even our poorest people are richer than the richest in most other countries. Here's the question as we read this. How many of us would rather give away every cent we have than lose Jesus? I ask myself that question. See, once we've lived relying on our wealth, oh my gosh, it's what I trust in, it's what I get pleasure from, it's my security blanket, it is really hard to enter the kingdom of God. It's really hard to enter the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad this ain't a stick up today? Number five. Give as if Jesus lives in you. Give as if Jesus lives in you. You know the last song that we were singing about the Spirit? Do you know that was never possible until Jesus died and paid for our sins and rose from the dead, seated at the right-hand side of the Father? Then the Holy Spirit could be poured out in every believer. And so Paul kind of looked at it like this. Live as if Jesus lives inside of you. Galatians 2:20. This is kind of a life verse for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember Jesus said, deny yourself and you'll find yourself? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He guides me. He directs me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This isn't even talking about me giving. This is me recognizing that he gave to me. As if Jesus lives in you. As if Jesus himself were guiding me, directing me to give to as the Lord Jesus Christ would in and through me. Maybe I haven't been crucified with Christ. Maybe I ask myself that question. Maybe I'm living by what I think I can accomplish. That's one of the things I always have to take part of. I think that every one of us needs to examine that. It's so easy to fall back into our skills, our gifts, and our talents, most especially when you're doing some things for the Lord. Number six, give as if you were thankful to God. Did he scoot out of there? Can you hit that bar for me? Give. Let's see how good John is. As if you were thankful to God. You're good. 2 Corinthians 9. At the end of the service, I'm going to read you a note. This note will be an awful lot exactly like this passage of Scripture here. 2 Corinthians 9:12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. What's the context? The Corinthian church, who were Gentiles, were taking up an offering to help the Jews, who for many centuries said, "You Gentiles, we don't want you in our faith." But now they are in Jesus Christ. They didn't hold it against them. They were going through difficulties and troubles. And in difficulties and troubles, when the Jews got saved, they were kicked out of their businesses, they were kicked out of their homes. So there was an offering they were taking up. Verse 13, because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else and in their prayers for you. Their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, people who have been given gifts, and most especially people who receive the indescribable gift of the presence of the Lord, of eternal life, of sins forgiven, they think, wow, I can't give anything back for that. What could you give? And so these Gentile Corinthians, they are giving back because God gave to them. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, the Bible says you really shouldn't give grudgingly. So they hear that and they read that and they say, well, then that I'm not going to give because I have a bad heart about it. And that's not the context of it at all. The context of it is get your heart right and give without grudging, without begrudging. So some will say, you know, you shouldn't do that. But Paul, he goes on to say everything about this giving. He describes it as thanks to the Lord. It's the way that they prove themselves. God is praised because it accompanies your confession of the gospel, and it comes as a part of God's surpassing grace. It just was amazing to him. So in your notes there, I have the phrase, give as if. What I'm saying is what if you were to give as if you were giving somebody else's stuff away? You know, what if I was to give you access to my checking account and to my savings account and say, you know my needs, you know the needs of the church, you know all the needs, do whatever you want with it. You know, here's my checking account, and boom, here's my house, here's my stuff, you know, don't touch my Toyota, but everything else is yours. Because that is the reality of it. The reality of it is the Bible calls us stewards. And if you need any help to know that you don't take anything into the next life, just take a look at every Egyptian coffin that has been opened and all the things they wanted to take, even burying a servant who I think was alive to go on into the next life with them. How'd you like that job? You don't take nothing. I don't take nothing. Everything that we have is ours. It was given to us. 1 Corinthians, you have it there in your notes, 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Go down the list of anything. You say, I worked for it. Who gave you the strength? Well, I have a set of golf clubs. Okay. You have a set of golf clubs. You have golf clubs. You say, I worked for them. I saved for it. I sacrificed, actually. And I say, well, who gave you breath? Who gave you two legs to walk or two arms to swing the clubs? Who gives you the strength? And who runs the electricity through your body? You all know that, right? You have electricity running through your body. When a baby's born, what makes the nerves and everything work is electricity. Have you heard a doctor open up somebody and say, oh, here's a 9-volt battery we've been looking for? Who gives you the electrical shock you need thousands of times a second? Give as if you were a steward of it. The asterisk in your notes, central point of what I want to say to you today is give as if everything you have was not yours in the first place. Give as if everything I have was not mine in the first place, because it wasn't. Sometimes I wonder if all of the power has gone out of our Christian lives. We live it. It's doldrum. Nothing crazy. Nothing new happens, amazingly. Just nothing crazy. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but whatever. Last week, in the middle of the week, one of the guys who had recently given his life to Christ and Christ was changing and turning his life around, stuck an envelope in my pocket that had $1,000 cash in it. I thought, wow, that'll help for vacation. One of you got that. That's a joke. And I called. I said, what are you doing? He said, I was going to give it, but he said something about it made me say, let me just go out to my car, come back and do it. And this is a guy who lived all of his life for himself. Everything he bought, everything he did, he spent it on himself. And somehow or another, last week, during the non-stick-up service, the Spirit spoke to him. As a pastor, that's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask. It's do what the Lord teaches. Do what the Lord says. Do what the Lord asks. I was talking to a family last week also. Christmas is coming up, and they're like, well, our kids probably aren't going to be all that happy at Christmas time, because all we're doing is everybody's picking a name, and then they're getting one gift from all, you know, all the other different relatives and stuff. And I looked at the both of them, and I said, you are good parents. You are good parents. Because you know what most people do? You know in Malachi it says that we bring the whole tithe to the Lord. And if we don't, God said, you're robbing me. All that is just on the increase. It's not on anything else. It's just whatever he supplies, a tenth is his. And so I wonder how many families will buy Christmas gifts and rob Jesus. Am I exaggerating? Read Malachi 3:10 and you decide for yourself. Malachi 3:10, find out. I hope you will not. I hope you will not. As we get ready to close today, I want to read you a letter. I want you to consider at the bottom of your notes, renewal at the altar. I would like to just spend a couple minutes at the altar today. Come on. And the song that we're going to close with is Come As You Are. This is not about money. This is about how would you just like to just renew your commitment to the Lord. You know, people renew at the altar their wedding vows. How about you and Jesus? How about you and Jesus? Are you ashamed of him? You know, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Before we close with this song, Come As You Are, and you just maybe just come spend a little bit of time renewing who you are with Jesus. Let me read a letter that I got from Jim and Betty and the family. 2 weeks ago, her brother Mike passed away. We did the funeral here. Both churches poured out tremendously. All six of the points that were made here are fulfilled in her thank you letter to all of you. She says, we wanted to extend our deepest gratitude to everyone at Lifehouse and Lifeline Church. We honestly don't know what to say that would be an adequate response for all you did. We can't remember another time when we felt so loved. You reached out in so many amazing ways. People gave money. People stuck money in the hands of people to buy chicken and food. And people stepped up to come up here and do ministry. And people stepped up to say, hey, I'll do the media. And everybody just kind of stepped up and surrounded them. They had several hundred people here. We observed all of you attending to so many tasks with such willingness and without complaint. You took time to take away from your busy lives to minister to our family and to perfect strangers. The light of Jesus could not have been any brighter. We were surrounded by the image of Christ, and that's the very thing that got us through that day. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Since we were unable to repay all the kindness we've been shown, we pray that Jesus will open the windows of heaven and rain down his greatest blessing on every one of you today. Again, thank you so very, very much. And that, my friends, is what makes the church different from any other organization in the world. People led by the Spirit, people who don't even know from each church, just say, what can we do to help? You gave in a bunch of different ways. You gave of your time, your talents, your finances. And people were blessed beyond measure. Her family, who was not Christians, said consistently that your church people, they're amazing. Lifehouse, Lifeline coming together, one body. Go ahead if you begin this song today. The name of the song today, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? And as you hear this song, come as you are. You just come. You just come. You just spend a little bit of time at the altar today, maybe a minute or two. Just renew your heart to make sure your heart is in the right place. Kelly, thank you.